commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not covet. And whatever other commandments there may be are summed up in this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. So it's like he's saying this. If you love one another and you truly love one another, the other stuff's going to work itself out. And moving down, it says, and do this understanding the present time. It's like Paul saying, look and see how that you come about the position that you are. How did you get to be right here? Look at the present time. How is it that you come to be in the exact position that you are in the time that you're there? The time is upon us. This is what Paul's saying. The time's upon us that we should be prepared. Everything is happening faster than expected. The time has come to use the things of God, like His Word and His Spirit, and let them do the work in your life that they're designed to do. And he finishes with saying things like this: move away from the things that have slowed you down, ones that had slowed you down earlier, and step out into the light, clothed with what Jesus Christ would put on you, expecting to go to battle. And that's just what Paul was speaking to the group about right here, but we're going to break it down a little bit and look at what that means. See, Paul's speaking on the obligation of debt. You know, sometimes we create our own debt. And you think of it like, you always, when you think of debt, you think of money. But anything that requires your attention, anything that requires your time, do you have anything in life that requires you to look at it and pay attention to it? You know, something you do every day. Now, listen, I'm going to throw just a few people under the bus just a little, so don't get mad at me, adults. Like, my wife, she likes Facebook a lot. She does. She really likes Facebook. In fact, I don't think Facebook's a bad thing. You know, it can be a bad thing, but, you know, we can be lying in bed, and I'm trying to go to sleep, and I'm lying there on my back rolling around, and I see this glow over beside me. And I look over, and she's on the iPad looking, and I'm going, what are you doing, honey? I'm looking at Facebook. All right. Well, 20 minutes later, there's still a glow over there. At this point, she should be sunburned. You know, it's a steady look at Facebook, and she's like, honey, this is how I tell the things that we need to know. That's our source for the media. But if you overdo it and you find yourself looking at Facebook and all the other things over and over and over and over, it becomes almost an addiction. You keep going back to it over and over. What if it starts to interfere with other parts of your life? Is that a debt? Yes, I believe it is a debt. If it hinders me from having the relationship with God that I need, that's also a debt. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that Facebook is hindering from your relationship with the Lord. I'm not saying that, but it's possible. You know, Paul's telling him, he's like, get rid of the debt, the stumbling blocks in your life that would cause you to stumble. And then he moves on a little farther again, and he says, the burdens that remain in your life, move them. Move them out of the way. And then Paul jumps, and he says, love one another and fulfill the law. Get the bad stuff out of the way and show each other that you care for each other every day. Now look, we're going to do a little something right here. We're going to have a good time with it. This is a different service, and I enjoy this. I want you to look to your left. Do you see the person on your left? All right. Now I want you to look on your right. Do you see that person on your right? Now this is what's great. Do you know that you can love those people? It's okay. It's okay to tell them you love them. Give them a high five. Give them a hug. Do all those things. Yes. That's what Paul's talking about. If we show love to one another and care for one another, then all the other commandments will be just fine. They'll work themselves out. In fact, Paul says the only debt we should have is the debt to one another, that we care for one another. And tonight, I believe that we had a good time up here. And the people come together, and we come together because we care about one another. We love to spend time with one another. He even says, you know, rule following doesn't replace that. I was having a conversation with a young man that was having a conversation with a young friend of his. And he said that you know, this man was from another denomination. And they were talking about the Ten Commandments. Do I believe we should follow the Ten Commandments? Absolutely. Absolutely, I believe we should follow. But you know what? We've all fall short of it. Every one of us. Every single person in this room has sinned. And I asked him, I said, well, is he beating you over the head with it? In other words, is he just talking about the Ten Commandments over and over and over? And he said, well, yeah. And I said, well, ask him, does he follow the rules of the Old Testament of what he eats? And I expected the guy to say no. And he come back and he said, well, absolutely, he does follow those rules about the Ten Commandments. And I began to be sad because that man's not even enjoying pork chops. I love pork chops. He didn't even get to eat them. And I said, you need, don't be so harsh on him. He's doing what he thinks is right. And we both know different. It's about Jesus. It's what it really is all about. And am I willing to surrender to him? And yes, should I follow rules? Absolutely. But following rules ain't going to get you into heaven. It's not going to be that way. And yeah, I have to ask myself, does my life reflect how Jesus really feels about me? Does my love for you guys, does it look like what Jesus, how he's loved me? Is that the way that you feel? Think about it. Do you really care for one another the way we should? Paul goes on and even after saying that, and he jumps. We're going to get into the meat of the lesson here in just a moment. But he said, understand the present time. You know, this may come as a shock to you because you're living in it. But I believe that today it's harder to be a teenager than it's ever been. You ask me why I say that. Because look at the stuff that you guys get to see every day that I didn't. You know, I didn't. When I grew up, when I was a teenager, there were cell phones out there, but I guarantee you teenagers didn't have one. I had a pager. Do you even know what a pager is? There's some people behind you that know what a pager is. And I'll be honest, there's some people behind you that wish that pagers would come back around and cell phones would go away. It would buzz on your side and you would run, look and see what the numbers were and you'd have to call it back. Or somebody would try to send a message with numbers so it would make a word. But now you got cell phones. Now you got cell phones and any and everything that you want to see is literally at the touch of your fingers. And you know, not everything you look at is good. Not everything that's put in front of you is good for you. In fact, sometimes it's harmful to you. But understanding the present time, it's different for you than it was me. It's harder to be a teenager because more stuff is put in front of you than ever was put in front of me. Really what Paul was saying, he says, as you do all this, you know what time it is. You know what I mean by that. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your sleep. What's he mean by sleep? He's talking to these group of people, and he's talking about come out of the darkness, just like the scripture said. Come out of the darkness, wake up, it's time to move. It's like this, there's a day coming. In other words, right now we're in the darkness, and the daylight's coming. Be ready. Get up. Come to. Are you paying attention to me? It's like God's whispering, hey, wake up. It's time to move. In Psalm 24, verse 33, David's talking about the person that just hasn't quite woke up yet. He says, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a thief, and scarcity like an armed man. You know, one of the things that scares me is that if I knew God had something for me, and let me tell you, he has something for every one of you, every one of you. And for years, I pushed it aside. I pushed it aside. And then all of a sudden, there come a time in my life where I could remember God's words telling me, hey, pay attention to me. And I looked up, and at that instant, I needed all the training that he had given me, but I didn't pay attention. That all of a sudden he had called me to an altar and I didn't go. He had called me to pay attention in class, in Sunday school class, and I didn't. Read the book and I didn't. And then there come to be a time where I needed it right then and I didn't know. That scares me. You know, Paul coupled the word sleep and darkness because he was speaking to the people about complacency. The picture that he was painting was, really, if you believe that Jesus is the Savior and you've devoted your life to him, it's time to move from the old you and take the form that a Christian does once they receive Christ as their Savior. It's time for you to be the man and the woman that God called you to be. Now, this is not what you're going to hear outside of here. Maybe your school's not going to tell you this. I know some of you are 15, 16, 17, 14, 18. And you're still 19. And you're still a child in some people's eyes. But what you really are is a young adult. You're getting ready to be in the very same place that I am. And you feel like it'll take forever to get there. Let me tell you, it felt like yesterday I was 20. And that was 17 years ago. And every single year they go by a little faster and a little faster. In fact, we were wishing people Merry Christmas last week. I feel like it's time to get started next week to do it again. Because it's coming that fast. You'll look up and it'll be Christmas. All over again. See, this, we know that God has saved us. That's the truth. Now he's showing you what we got to do. Paul's telling us, look, the night's almost over. The morning's coming. Are you paying attention? It's almost like Paul's telling them, take your positions. Wake up. Take your positions. It's time to use what you've already learned. It's like, put on the armor. Get ready. Prepare yourselves through Christ for a life in the daylight. Paul actually says that. He says, so let's put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime. Like, people are going to see you in the daylight. How are you going to act when people are looking? If a person accepts Jesus into their heart, truth is you can't hide it. Not even in the daylight. It's on you. Because the presence of the Holy Spirit in a person flows out of their life. When we get around other Christians, we feel at ease. Why do we feel at ease? Because the Holy Spirit that lives in me, and here I am trying to live the life. I'm up here trying to do what God's called me to do. And I'm having a good time because I'm around you guys. You guys are Christians just like me. But what happens? You know, how do you really piece it together when it becomes out of my comfort zone? I don't want to be in the darkness forever. I don't want to be comfortable with how I... Do you remember when you got saved? How you were on fire? Was anybody, when you got saved, you were like, you were on fire, ready? I was. I was tore up about it. I was ready to, you know, I heard Quinn say this, charge hell with a water pistol. I got you. I'm going to charge hell with a water pistol. I'm fired up about it. If you'll notice that sometimes, and we've talked about this with some of you, that fades. That fades away. How many of you went to camp last year? All right. Did you go to camp last year? How many of you come back fired up? Fired up. How long did it last? Did it last? Or does it seem like it died? After about day five, were you in the same exact mood as you were last time? In 5 days, did you feel just like you did when you left? Right. Right. It starts to die down. But you know, God has an answer for that. What God says is put on the armor of God. That's what Paul talks about in Ephesians. Putting on the armor of God. In Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10, it says this. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist and the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with readiness that comes with the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And you know, some of you guys really know this. You can take that right there with you to school. You can get up in the morning and you can pray to the Lord, Lord, put the armor of that you provide on me. Lord, I want those things. Sometimes when you get out and you go to school or you get out in public, then not everybody agrees with you. And you look and you start telling them how good Jesus is. This is what they say. That may be good for you, but it's not good for me. Because it limits what I can do. It stops what I can do. You say, well, what do you mean? What do you mean it stops what you... I can't have the same fun if I'm a Christian. I can't do the very same things. They look at it like a demotion. If I turn my life over to the Lord, it's going to demote me. There's things that I can't take part in. But let me tell you, when you turn your life over to Jesus Christ, it's not a demotion. It's a promotion. You move up, not down. To be a child of God is definitely not a step down. It's a step up. You know, in Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 9, it says, do not lie to each other. Since you have taken off your old self with its practices, and have put on a new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge and in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, slave or free. But Christ is all, and all is in Christ. So what's this mean for you and me? Let's get to the real deal. Wake up. Wake up. I really enjoyed this. How many of you ever heard your mama say, wake up? Wake up, it's Saturday morning, get up. You ever heard somebody yell that at you from your mama? You know your mama yells at you. I know Tyler. I've heard talk to his parents. He won't get up. He won't do it. So when mama yells, wake up, what do? I remember when I was a teenager, I would inch closer to the edge of the bed going, all right, Lord, I'm going to get up. Mama, I'm going to get up. And that you, just because you move closer to the bed and you slow your pace down, you feel like you're making an effort to get up, but you wake up 30 minutes later in that same spot, you know. And then you hear footsteps and you think, oh, Lord, I better get out of bed because I guarantee she's going to tear me up if I don't get out of this bed. But you know what God's saying right now? Wake up. Get out of the darkness that you're in. Don't be sleepy or lazy. Get up. I'm calling. In Psalms 51:10, David says this. He said, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew my steadfast spirit. In other words, David's saying this, Lord, I don't want to be lazy about what I'm looking to you for. I want the pure heart, the one when you say get up, that I'll do it. I'm purposed for you. Not the when mom says, get up, and I say, yes, ma'am, right back to sleep. But what if mama said this? Get up. We're going to the beach. You'd knock the paint off the walls getting your stuff in your bag. Get up, we're going to Six Flags. Here we go. Get up, we're going to do whatever it is that you want today, and I'm going to pay for it all. Mama says that, you're out of bed in a heartbeat. But what happens when God says it? God says, get up. Pay attention. I've got something for you. What if God says, get up? This is not a drill. This is real. Well, what happens next? What do we do next? What do you do once you get up? What's the next step? You get ready. You don't get up and run out just like you are. People are going to look at you funny. You get ready. You know, it's like this. When you get up in the morning, And when you finally do get up, Tyler, I know it takes you a little bit. What do you put on? Well, you put on clothes. That's the way you got to be. But do you put on the armor of God? You know, if God calls you out of darkness, you know, and you're saved, that's God calling you out. That's God speaking to you and you responding. Now, let me tell you, he wants everybody to come to him. But if once you respond, what do you do then? I've got to use the things that he's provided for me. You ask me, you say, why so much pressure on getting ready? Aren't I already saved? Well, yes. But here's why. You put on all that armor we talked about earlier. Right outside that door out there, I want everybody to turn and look at it. You see that door out there? If you go out a little bit farther, there's a road. You know who's waiting on you out there? Satan is looking for you. Satan's looking for you. The enemy is looking for you. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, it says, be alert and of a sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a lion looking for whom he may devour. This is what you got to understand. Satan's not afraid of you. Satan's not afraid of you. In fact, what Satan wants is he wants to put everything in front of you that'll make you stumble. Everything. Anywhere from drugs, alcohol, young men, things that you see on a computer screen that you ain't supposed to look at. All those things. That's what Satan's going to present. That's what he's looking. You know why Satan has to get off of you? It's not because he's afraid of you. It's because he's afraid of him. Do you understand? You don't have a shot. Nobody's got a shot without Jesus. He's not going to get off of you. Satan is afraid of him, not you. That's the way that works. That's what the armor's for. God's saying, get ready. Put it on. In Psalm 18, starting in verse 34, David said, he trains my hand for battle. My arms can bend a bow of bronze. You make your saving help my shield, and your right hand sustains me. Your help has made me great. You see, that's what God does for his children. That's what God does for the Christian. But what about when you look out into the world and you see the young man that's struggling with anger? You may be that young man that's struggling with anger. What do you do when you see him sitting over in the corner? And if you try to minister to him, he doesn't respond to you. He just looks angry. You know we don't have a relationship with the Lord. What do you do about the young lady? The young lady that just wants attention, that just wants to be loved, and she doesn't have any friends. And she goes to school every single day, every day, and nobody pays her any attention. And then one day she wears something that's just a little bit shorter than the day before, and she realizes the attention increased. If she doesn't have a relationship with the Lord, that's a dangerous and nasty road. How about just the people that want friends in general? They're looking around for somebody and they don't have them. And then somebody that's involved with things that the Lord does not approve of befriends them. And they think, I really don't want to do this or need to do it, but those people show me the attention I need. Do you see the dangers? You know, if they don't have Jesus in their life, they're not ready to move forward. Jesus said, get ready. The Lord's saying, get ready. Be ready. How about this one? Once you get ready, why don't you just fight to the end? What's the end? Well, we all pray that we'll see the Lord come back. But if we don't, our life will pass. And I want to go all the way until that moment fighting. In Matthew 24, verse 13, it says, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. I like the idea of saying I fought my entire life for Jesus. My whole life, I was what I want to do. Really what Christ is talking about here is don't quit. Don't stop doing what you do. Two reasons, especially young people quit, is one, they stop recognizing the threat. They slowly let their guard down until the enemy has breached the walls. Or number two, they say, there's no use in trying. I just can't win. Seems useless. I just can't win. I've tried and I just can't get to where I need to be. The thing about it is God is encouraging to say, look, don't quit. Don't give up now. Fight all the way through the end. Paul's talking about in the daylight. The daylight is your life. Your life after salvation. All I want to be is what God wants me to be. And I can't give up on Him now. Not now. I've come too far with Him. See, what He really wants is He wants me to be close to Him all the time. He doesn't want me to give up. You know, I was speaking with a young lady one time. And my wife was with me and we were standing beside one another. And the young lady come up. And we know her. She's a very, very kind-hearted young woman. She began to tell us how she couldn't hear the Lord speak to her anymore. She felt left out. And she began to cry. Tears run down her face. And I told her, I said, look, whatever you do, don't give up. Fight to the end. God's still God. Jesus still is Jesus. God still loves you and wants you. Don't give up now. And the tears began to grow faster and faster down her face. And she began to talk like this. She said, maybe I've just outrun Him. And I didn't fully understand it at the time, but I think I know what she meant. That God's walking along at His pace and she's walking along at hers. And she just went faster than God did. And she looked around and she was, Lord, where are You? And she didn't hear Him. But the truth is, I think we've all done that. Sometimes what you've got to do is just simply turn around and run back into the arms of God. Because truth is, God's full of mercy. God's full of grace. He'll accept you, pick you up, wrap His arms around you. And that's what we're looking for. Think about it. This is the way I look at it. You know, without God's mercy and His guidance, where would I be? What if I would have never accepted the Lord? Truth is, I'd be on my way to hell. Nobody likes to say that out loud. That's not fun to say. But it's still true. See, what I've described to you today was three things. And all three of those things are something that a Christian goes through in stages in their life. See, when God speaks, if we move and accept Him, we're saved. In fact, there's scripture on that. In John 6:44, it says, no one can come to Me unless the Father who sent Me draws them, and I'll raise them up. When God speaks to you, do you move? And the second part that we talk about is, you know, God gives us the answers. He says, get ready. Well, what does get ready mean? Get ready means that I read His Word and try to learn what it is that He has for me. I spend time with Him. I pray. I read. The Bible talks, has a verse of Scripture about itself. It says this. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. And the third and last part, if I fight till the end, I believe that I'll see God's blessings here on this earth. In Psalm 27:13, it says, I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I believe that I'll see it right here. You know, in about 2 hours and 30 minutes. It's going to be 2017. 2 hours and 30 minutes, it'll be 2017. And what I want most for myself and what I want most for you is to go into 2017 with the mindset of, Lord, arm me, get me ready. I know the day's close, Lord. I want to be ready for when it's time. Or maybe one of you, maybe some of you are saying in your mind, I've already quit. I've already quit on my relationship with the Lord. I've already given up. You know, it's not too late. You know, today you can restore that. You know, today God will restore that for you. Or maybe you've never told God that you even want to be saved. Maybe you can't think of that time in your life where you said, Lord, I want you to move into my life. I want you to save me. You've never told Jesus, Jesus, I know you died for my sins, Lord. Maybe that's never happened. Let me tell you, God will be the Lord of your life and prepare everything if you'll just let Him. If you'll just allow Him to. Now what I want you to do is stand with me. Let's all stand. 2 hours and 32 minutes now. Time's moving quickly. It's going to be 2017. The time's moving fast. And here's what's important, and we've spoken about this over and over. When God speaks to you, do you respond? Do you move when the Lord talks to you? When you feel conviction in your heart, when you feel the Lord calling, do you move? Now remember earlier, had you looked to your left and to your right, chances are one of you is struggling with something. And if that person went down to an altar to talk to the Lord, do you love them enough to go with them? Pray on their behalf? Would you do that? Do you love them that much? That's what Paul's talking about. If you want to fulfill God's law, you got to care about one another. So what we're going to do is we're going to play a song here in just a second. And these altars are open at any time. You don't have to wait on me to stop. But I tell you what, if God's speaking to you, would you honor Him by talking to Him? Start your song, man.
Safe here with me. There's no need to cover what I already see. You've got your reasons, but I hold your peace. You've been on lockdown, and I hold the key. 'Cause I love you before you knew it was love, and I saw it all. Still, I chose the cross, and you were the one that I was thinking of when I rose from the grave. Now, rid of the shackles, my victory's yours. I tore the veil for you to come close. There's no reason to stand at a distance. When you're lost at home. There's no reason to stand at a distance anymore. You're not far from home. You're not far from home. Keep on coming. Yeah. And oh, as you run, what hindered love will only become part of the story. And oh, as you run, what hindered love will only become part of the story. And oh, as you run, what hindered love will only become part of the story.
Sometimes I gotta stop, remember that you're God.